This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. How are you guys doing? Alhamdulillah. Good. Okay, bismillah. Inshallah, we'll begin our lesson. Tafsir of Surat Yusuf. So inshallah, you can open up your books too. This is page number, I cannot see in the file over here. Yeah, page number 41. So inshallah, we'll begin from ayah number 36. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. So inshallah, we'll begin with the translation of ayah number 36. وَدَخَلَ, and they entered, مَعَهُ, with him, السِّجْنَ, the prison, فَتَيَان, two young men. قَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا, one of them two said, إِنِّي, indeed I, أَرَانِي, I see myself, أَعْصِرُ, as I press, خَمْرَ, wine. وَقَالَ الْآخَرُ, and the other said, إِنِّي, indeed I, أَرَانِي, I see myself, أَحْمِلُ, as I carry, فوق, above, رأسي, my head, خبزاً, bread. تأكل الطير, the birds are eating, منه, from it. نبئنا, you inform us, بتأويله, of its interpretation. إنا, indeed we, نراك, we consider that you are, من, from, المحسنين, those who do good with excellence. قال, he said, لا, not, يأتيكما, it will come to you too, طعامٌ, any food which ترزقانه, you two are provided it, إلا, except that نبأتكما, I will have informed you two, بتأويله, of its interpretation, قبل أن, before, يأتيكما, it comes to you two. ذلكما, that, or you two, مما, is from what, علمني ربي, my رب has taught me. إني, indeed I, تركت, I have left, ملّة, creed, قومٍ, of a people who, لا, not, يؤمنون, they believe, بالله, in Allah, وهم, and they, بالآخرة, in the hereafter, whom, they truly, كافرون, are ones who disbelieve. واتبعت, and I have followed, ملّة, creed, آبائي, of my forefathers, إبراهيم, إبراهيم, وإسحاق, and إسحاق, ويعقوب, and يعقوب. ما, not, كان, it is appropriate, لنا, for us, and that, نشرك, we associate as partners, بالله, with Allah, من شيء, anything at all. ذلك, that, من, is from, فضلي, favor, الله, of Allah, علينا, upon us, وعلى, and upon, الناس, the people. ولكن, but indeed, أكثر, most, الناس, of the people, لا, not, يشكرون, they show gratitude. Ya, O صاحبي, my two companions, السجني, of the prison. أأربابٌ, our lords, متفرقون, different ones, or several ones. خيرٌ, better, or is, اللهُ, Allah, الواحد, the single one, القهار, the extremely dominant. ما, not, تعبدون, you all worship, من دونه, besides him, إِلَّا, except, أَسْمَاء, names which سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا, you all have named them. أَنْتُمْ, you all, وَآبَاؤُكُمْ, and your forefathers, مَا, not, أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ, Allah has sent down, بِهَا, in regard to them, مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ, any authoritative evidence at all. إِنْ, not, الْحُكْمُ, the judgment, إِلَّا, is except, لِلَّهِ, for Allah. أَمَرَ, he has commanded, Allah, that not, ta'budu, you all worship, illa, except, iyyahu, him alone. Thalika, that, ad-deenu, is the religion, القيم, the upright. ولكن, but indeed, أكثر, most, الناس, of the people, لا, not, يعلمون, they know. يا, أو, صاحبي, my two companions, السجني, of the prison. أما, as for, أحدكما, one of you two, فيسقي, then he will give as drink to, ربه, his master, خمرة, wine. وأما, and as for, الآخر, the other one, فيصلبوا, then he will be crucified, فتأكل الطير, then the birds will eat, من, from, رأسه, his head. قضية, it has been decreed, الأمر, the matter, الذي, the one which, فيه, in regard to it, تستفتيان, you to seek a ruling. وقال, and he said, للذي, to the one who, ظن, he knew, أنه, that indeed he, ناجٍ, will be one who is saved, منهما, among them too. اذكرني, you mention me, عند, to ربك, your master. فأنساه الشيطان, then the shaitan caused him to forget, ذكر, mention, ربه, to his master. فلبث, so he remained, في, in, a سجن, the prison, بضع, a number, سنين, of years. وقال الملك, and the king said, إني, indeed I, أرى, I see, سبع, seven, بقرات, cows, سمان, fleshy ones, which, يأكلهن, it eats them, سبع, seven, رجاف, emaciated ones. وسبع, and seven, سنبلات, spikes, خضر, green ones, وأخر, and others, which are, يابسات, dry ones. يا أيها, أو الملأ, the elite, or the assembly, أفتوني, you all give me a ruling, في, in regard to, رؤيايا, my dream, إن كنتم, if you all truly, للرؤيا, for the dreams, تعبرون, you all give interpretation. قالوا, they said, أضغاث, this is an incoherent mix, أحلام, of dreams. وما, and not, نحن, we, بتأويل, of interpretation, الأحلام, of the dreams, بعالمين, are at all ones who know. وقال, and he said, الذي, the one who, نجا, he was saved, منهما, among them two. وذكر, and he remembered, بعد, after, أمة, a period of time. أنا, I, أنبئكم, I will inform you all, بتأويله, of its interpretation, فأرسلوني, so you all send me. يوسف, يوسف, أيها, أو, الصديق, the extremely truthful. أفتنا, you give us a ruling, في, in regard to, سبع, seven, بقرات, cows, سمان, fleshy ones, which, يأكلهن, it eats them, سبع, seven, رجاف, emaciated ones. وسبع, and seven, سنبلات, spikes, خضر, green ones, وأخر, and others, which are, يابسات, dry ones. لعلي, so that I, أرجع, I return, إلى, to, الناس, the people, لعلهم, so that they, يعلمون, they know. قال, he said, تزرعون, you all will cultivate, سبع, for seven, سنين, years. دأبا, as is the custom. فما, so what, حصدتم, you all have harvested, فذروه, then you all leave it, في, in, سنبله, its spikes. إلا, except, قليلا, a little, مما, from what, تأكلون, you all will eat. ثم, then, يأتي, it will come, من بعد, after, ذلك, that, سبع, seven, شداد, ones that are severe, يأكلن, they will consume, ما, what, قدمتم, you all sent ahead, لهن, for them. إلا, except, قليلا, a little, مما, of what, تحصنون, you all safely store. ثم, then, يأتي, it will come, من بعد, after, ذلك, that, عام, a year, which, فيه, in it, يغاثوا, they will be relieved by much rain, الناس, the people. وفيه, and in it, يعصرون, they will press. وقال الملك, and the king said, ائتوني به, bring him, you all bring him to me. فلما, then when, جاءه الرسول, the messenger came to him, قال, he said, ارجع, you return, إلى, to, ربك, your master. فاسأله, then you ask him, ما, what, بالو, is case, النسوة, of the women, اللاتي, those who, قطعن, they cut, أيديهن, their hands. إن, indeed, ربي, my رب, or my master, بكيدهن, of their conspiracy, Alimun is ever-knowing or is knowledgeable. قال, he said, ما what خطبكن was your affair, إذ when راوتن you all tried to sway يوسف يوسف عن from نفسه his resolve. قلنا, they said, حاشا لله, perfect is Allah, or Allah forbid. ما not علمنا, we knew عليه about him من سوء in any evil at all. قالت, she said, امرأة wife, العزيز of the عزيز. الآن now, حصحص, it has come out, or it has come to be established, الحق, the truth. أنا, I, راودته, I tried to sway him, عن, from نفسه, his resolve. وإنه, and indeed he, لمن, surely is from, الصادقين, those who are truthful. ذلك, that, ليعلم, so that he knows, أني, that indeed I, لم أخنه, I did not betray him, بالغيب, in the unseen. وأن, and that indeed, الله, الله, لا not, يهدي, he guides, كيد, conspiracy, الخائنين, of those who betray. وما, and not, أبرئ, I absolve, نفسي, myself, إن, indeed, النفس, the soul, لأمارة, surely is one that is extreme in commanding, بسوء, with the evil. إلا, except, ما, whom, or when, رحم ربي, my رب has shown mercy. إن, indeed, ربي, my رب, غفور, is ever forgiving, رحيم, ever merciful. وقال الملك, and the king said, ائتوني به, you all bring him to me, أستخلصه, I will appoint him exclusively, لنفسي, for myself. فلما, then when, كلمه, he spoke to him, قال, he said, إنك, indeed you, اليوم, today, لدينا, with us, مكين, are firmly established, أمين, trusted. قال, he said, اجعلني, you appoint me, على, over, خزائن, treasuries, الأرض, of the land. إني, indeed I, حفيظ, am diligent in guarding, عليم, knowledgeable. وكذلك, and thus, مكننا ليوسف, we firmly established يوسف, في, in, الأرض, the land, يتبوأ, he settles, منها, in it, حيث, wherever, يشاء, he wills. نصيب, we bestow, برحمتنا, our mercy, من, upon whomever, نشاء, we will. ولا, and not, نضيع, we let go waste, نُضِيعُ, we let go to waste, أَجْرَ, reward, المحسنين, of those who do good with excellence. وَلَأَجْرُ, and surely reward, الآخرة, of the hereafter, خَيْرٌ, is better, لِلَّذِينَ, for those who آمَنُوا, they believed, وَكَانُوا, and they used to, يَتَّقُونَ, they adopt consciousness of Allah, or they safeguard themselves. So inshallah, we'll try our best to cover verses 36 to 57. I understand the verses are many, the lesson is quite long, but inshallah, I hope you'll be able to memorize the translation. Alhamdulillah, a lot of you have, alhamdulillah, a lot of time on your hands, so I hope it will not be difficult for you. And the reason why I wanted to cover all of these verses today is because all of these verses are basically the next chapter, you could say, of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, which is the fourth chapter, you could say, or the fourth scene of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. So in the previous verses, we learned about how when Yusuf alayhi salam was repeatedly invited to sin, first by the wife of Aziz, and then when she gathered all of these women and she proved to them as to why she was so attracted to Yusuf alayhi salam, and then all of them told Yusuf alayhi salam to be with her. Yusuf alayhi salam, he chose to go to prison and be far removed from this evil that was that he was being pushed into. And we see over here that Yusuf alayhi salam, he chose the ladha, the sweetness of iman, instead of the ladha or the sweetness of any other pleasure. And this is the reason why he preferred going to prison. He chose to suffer worldly loss, but he did not want to lose his integrity. He did not want to compromise when it came to his religion, when it came to his duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see this in the way of the righteous. For example, we learned about Imam Bukhari, about how when he was traveling once on a boat and he mentioned to someone about how, you know, he had a certain amount of money. That man, the next morning, he started screaming and, you know, saying that I have lost this much money, someone stole it. And the people of the boat began searching for the money and they couldn't find it. So the man eventually asked Imam Bukhari that, where did you put your money? How come nobody was able to find it? So Imam Bukhari said that he threw it in the water. And it is said that that was about 1,000 gold coins. So he threw it in the water. Why? Because he did not want to put his integrity at risk. That he did not want to be known as someone who had stolen. Even if it was a false accusation, he did not want to be known as that, because his reputation mattered a lot. He was recording and transmitting words that were attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was okay with worldly loss, but he did not want to put his reputation at risk. And we see over here that Yusuf alayhi salam, he was okay with going to prison, but he did not want to compromise when it came to his religion. And certainly, going to prison is something that is very, very difficult. It was very, very hard. One can only imagine. I mean, in this day and age, we see how there's so many people who are incarcerated and they don't deserve to be in prison. And they're living through such difficult conditions. Yusuf alayhi salam, of course, he also experienced great difficulty when he was in prison. But we see in these verses how everything worked out in the favor of Yusuf alayhi salam. We see how this difficulty also became a part of his learning and a part of his growth. It became a step towards his success. We see that when Yusuf alayhi salam was in the house of the Aziz, he got to see the society from a very different perspective. And now in the prison, he got to see the people who are truly oppressed. So he understood that society. He saw that society from the top and also from the bottom. And we see that the time that he spent in prison certainly provided him solitude, which in fact is essential for self-development. You know, there are people who will choose to isolate themselves, who will choose to, spend time in solitude. Why? Because it's very important for self-reflection, for self-development. So even though Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was sent to prison, this was something completely unfair, but remember that at the end of the day, nothing that happens to a believer is bad for him or her. Everything that happens to a believer is in fact good for the believer. For the believer, there is no failure. Difficulties bring you experience. Difficulties allow you to grow. And this is what happened with Yusuf alayhi salam also. So let's begin with verse number 36, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ السِّجْنَ فَتَيَانِ. وَدَخَلَ, and there entered, مَعَهُ, with Yusuf alayhi salam, meaning at the same time, a sijna, into the prison, who entered with him at the same time, فَتَيَانِ, two young men. Fatayan, this is the dual of the word fata, and fata is used for a young man or even a servant or a slave. And it is said that these two men, they were royal servants who had been accused of plotting to poison the king. So they entered the prison with Yusuf alayhi salam. What happened, qala ahaduhuma, one of them said, meaning to Yusuf alayhi salam, that inni arani, that indeed I saw, meaning myself, in my dream, that a'asiru khamra, that I am pressing wine. عصيرو, this is from عصره, and عصره is to squeeze, to press. So I am pressing, meaning grapes or whatever else, I'm pressing that in order to make wine. وقال الآخر, and the other man said, that إني أراني, indeed I saw myself, meaning in my dream, أحمل فوق, that I am carrying above رأسي, my head, خبز and bread. That I saw in my dream that I am carrying bread on my head, and this bread is such that تأكل الطير, birds are eating منه from it. نبئنا بتأويله, they both said, that please inform us, tell us about its interpretation, meaning the interpretation of our dreams. Why? Because إنا نراك من المحسنين, indeed we see you among those who do good. Now, think about this. Out of all the people who could have entered the prison with Yusuf alayhi salam, it was these two young men. So remember, this was not accidental. Because everything, whether it is big or small, is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the mudabbir, which means that there is nothing in his creation that happens haphazardly. Nothing happens in his creation at random. Everything is planned, determined, decreed. So these two young men entered the prison with Yusuf alayhi salam at the same time, which means that they noticed him, right? They felt secure with him. And they even eventually shared their dreams with him. And they trusted what he said, which is why they asked him to tell them what their dreams meant. They said, نَبِئْنَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ إِنَّا نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Now think about it. They could have forgotten about their dreams, right? I mean, you know, we have dreams all the time, and we tend to forget the majority of our dreams. These two men could have also forgotten about their dreams, or even if they remembered, they could have not mentioned them to Yusuf alayhi salam, or they could have not asked him about the interpretation of these dreams, but they did. Now, think about Yusuf alayhi salam. We learned that Yusuf alayhi salam was blessed with the knowledge of the interpretation of dreams. And how good would that knowledge be if it was not put to use? As long as Yusuf alayhi salam was in the house of the Aziz, he was not interpreting the dreams of people, right? But now, in the prison, that he is with people, he is accessible to people, he was able to use this knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. Right, so this is where, where Yaqub alayhi salam said, وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, Allah will teach you the interpretation of dreams. This is where that is becoming a reality. And this could not have become a reality in the house of the Aziz. As long as Yusuf alayhi salam was in the house of the Aziz, he would not be able to put his knowledge to use. Imam Hassan al-Basri, he said that do not dislike the difficulties or the trials that occur in your life. Why? Because it's quite possible that your salvation is in what you dislike and your death is in what you give preference to. Meaning things that you experience that are very hard, don't dislike them, right? Don't resent them. Why? Because it's quite possible that the obstacle is the way. Meaning the obstacle or the difficulty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in your path is the very road to your success. And what you desire, meaning ease, it's quite possible that that is the path to your destruction. So whatever that happens in your life, which is beyond your control, then don't resent it. Embrace it and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing to you through that hardship. So now we see that these two men, they said to Yusuf alayhi salam that we are asking you about the interpretation of our dreams because we see you among the muhsinin. We see that you are of the muhsinin. Who is a muhsin? Muhsin is someone who does does ihsan, right? Who is excellent in what they do. And remember that there's two aspects of ihsan. One aspect of ihsan is ihsan in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all right? And the other aspect of ihsan is in the way that a person deals with people, When it comes to worshipping Allah, ihsan is that you worship Allah as though you see Him. When it comes to dealing with people, ihsan is that you are good to them, you're kind to them, you're generous to them. So they said to him that we see that you are among the muhsineen. What did they mean by this? This could mean two things. One is that we see that you are of those who are good at interpreting dreams. Meaning out of all people, you are really good at interpreting dreams. You seem knowledgeable, wise, and sensible. And why did they say this? Because perhaps they had seen him talking to people and interpreting their dreams for them. And secondly, muhsin over here can also mean that we see you of those who are good to the people in the prison. Meaning you are different. You are a good person. And you know, this shows us that good character, ihsan, kindness, generosity, these are actually very attractive qualities. Because you see, as human beings, we want relief. We want answers. So we turn to one another for help. And the people who help us, the people who are generous with us, you know, with their time or with their kindness, then you are naturally attracted to them. So we see that even in the prison, Yusuf alayhi salam was very resourceful. He was very helpful. And this is, this really shows that Yusuf alayhi salam was truly a muhsin. He was described as a muhsin earlier also. And now again, he is described as a muhsin. So remember that a muhsin, a person who is good and kind and excellent in their dealings or in their worship, they're muhsin in good times and they're also muhsin in difficult times. A lot of times what happens with us is that we change with our circumstances, right? Meaning if people are good to us, we will be good to them. And if people are mean to us, we will be mean to them. But a muhsin is someone who is consistent in their ihsan regardless of their circumstances. So real qualities of a person, they're truly revealed in times of trial. The true face of a person is revealed in hardship. So Yusuf alayhi salam was a muhsin everywhere. And this shows us something very important. Think about it. Yusuf alayhi salam was unjustly brought into Egypt. He was sold into slavery, right? And then he was mistreated. Even though he was the victim, he was silenced. And he was put in prison. Yet he was not spiteful. Right? He did not have any hatred for the Egyptian people. And this is something that we see now, and this is also something that we see later. He did not develop a dislike for the Egyptian people because of how some individuals had treated him. So this is also something very important for us to remember, because you know we have a bad experience with an individual of a certain race or of a certain country, and then we cancel the entire people, the entire nation. So Yusuf alayhi salam was not like that. He treated people not the way that people deserve to be treated necessarily, but how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would want him to treat them. So they said, "Inna naraka min al-muhsinin." Yusuf alayhi salam, what did he do? Qala, he said to them, "La ya'tikuma ta'amun." He said to them that "La ya'tikuma," it will not come to you too. What will not come to you too? Ta'amun, food. Which food? Turzaqanihi, which you will be provided. Illa, except nabbatukuma, I will have informed you all bita'wilihi, of its interpretation. Meaning, I will tell you about the interpretation of your dreams before your food comes to you. Why did he begin with this? Why didn't he simply tell them the interpretation of their dreams? Because first of all, Yusuf alayhi salam, he wanted to take advantage or make use of this opportunity. These individuals were asking him about their dreams. But Yusuf alayhi salam wanted to benefit them, not just in terms of their worldly matters. He also wanted to save them in the hereafter. So he wanted to give them da'wah. He wanted to tell them about worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. So, he first assured them that he was going to tell them the interpretation, and he gave them a time frame, because if you want someone to listen to you attentively, you know, assure them that you won't be long, or assure them that you're not going to go on forever. And he wanted to make use of this opportunity. So this is why he told them that before your food comes, you will know the interpretation of the dreams. I will tell you, meaning I will not be long. Secondly, how did Yusuf alayhi salam know that their food was coming? Because this is a matter of the future, right? And the future is part of the unseen. So Yusuf alayhi salam was basically telling them over here something about the future, as a sign, as an evidence of the fact that he knew some knowledge of the unseen. All right? Because if you think about it, the interpretation of dreams, this is a matter of the unseen, right? How do you know what a dream really means? And how can you know for sure? How can you know with certain knowledge? If anybody gives you the interpretation of your dream, they cannot say that this will certainly happen. But Yusuf alayhi salam could. Why? Because what he knew was based on revelation. All right? What he knew was based on revealed knowledge. So Yusuf alayhi salam first told them about something that was going to happen in the future so that these people would trust him. All right? These people would believe him. That, you know, the interpretation that I'm going to give you is not based on my whims. It's not based on my, you know, imagination. No, it is based on certain knowledge, which is given to me through revelation. This is similar to how, you know, Isa alayhi salam, part of the miracles that he was given was وَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا تَأْكُلُونَ. I can tell you about what you have just eaten. And I can tell you about the food that you have stored in your homes, right? And there were certain occasions where the Prophet ﷺ was also given the knowledge of certain things that were going to happen in the future. Why? As an evidence that, look, this person does not speak from his own desire, right? Or his whims. What he's telling you is based on certain knowledge. And that knowledge is not from himself. It is coming from someone. And who is that someone? That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was Yusuf alayhi salam's way of, you know, assuring them and giving them the source of his knowledge. Okay? And that was revelation. And also think about it, you know, if someone tells you about something of the unseen, then you wonder, who are they? Are they a soothsayer? Are they a magician? Do they have some divine powers? Like, what are they? So Yusuf alayhi salam is telling them about the source of his knowledge, that it is revelation. So he said, لَا يَأْتِيكُمَا طَعَامٌ تُرْزَقَانِهِ إِلَّا نَبَّأْتُكُمَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتِيكُمَا, before your food comes to you. And then he tells them that ذَلِكُمَا, that or you all, meaning this knowledge that I have, whether it is about the fact that your food is just about to come, or it is the interpretation of the knowledge of the interpretation of your dreams, this is mimma allamani rabbi. This is from what my Lord has taught me. Meaning, I have this knowledge because Allah gave this to me. My Lord gave this to me. And who am I? Inni taraktu millata qawmin. Indeed, I have left the religion of a people who لا يؤمنون بالله, who do not believe in Allah, وهم بالآخرة هم كافرون, and they're disbelievers in the hereafter. In other words, I believe in Allah and I believe in the last day. I am different from the people that you see over here. My religion is different. So the first thing we see here is that Yusuf alayhi salam is not just going to give them the interpretation of their dreams, he's also telling them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember that the prophets of Allah were not only sent to rescue people from worldly hardship. They were also sent to save them from eternal hardship. This is the reason why the prophets of Allah benefited people through the means that they were given, okay? But at the same time, the prophets of Allah also invited people to surrender to Allah. So for example, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stopped people from burying their daughters, right? But he didn't just tell people to not bury their daughters. He also told them to worship only Allah, to leave idolatry, right? Musa alayhi salam, he rescued the Bani Israel from the oppression of Fir'aun, but he also told them to worship only Allah. Salih alayhi salam told people to be fair in their business, etc., and also to worship only Allah. Sulaiman alayhi salam established a great kingdom, right? And he benefited so many people, and he also invited the Queen of Sheba to worship only Allah. Isa alayhi salam, he healed the blind, the leper, and he also invited people to worship only Allah. So Yusuf alayhi salam did the same thing. He used the special gift that Allah had given him, which was the knowledge of the interpretation of dreams, to help people, but he didn't just help people in their worldly matters. He also invited them to worship Allah, because that is what would ultimately save people in the hereafter. And this teaches us that whatever we do, however we choose to bring benefit to people, whether it is that we want to become a teacher, or some kind of technician or doctor, or a birth doula, or whatever it is that you do, use your platform to connect people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. That is real service. That you bring benefit to people here in their present life, and you also give them what will benefit them forever. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he is in the prison, he's telling people about the interpretation of their dreams, and he's also giving da'wah. He's also calling people to the worship of Allah only. And how does he do that? He begins by telling them about the source of his knowledge. And then secondly, he mentions two primary beliefs, which is the belief in Allah and the belief in the hereafter. And then he says, وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. And I have followed the religion of my forefathers. Who are they? Ibrahim, who was his great-grandfather, Ishaq, who was his grandfather, and Yaqub, who was his father. Why is he saying this? He's basically preparing the grounds, okay, for calling them to the worship of Allah alone. And what he's saying essentially is that what I believe, what I practice, is not something new. Okay, it is something that's well established. This is something that even my forefathers believed in. This is something that my forefathers practiced. And he's not boasting over here, but he's confidently stating his background. Why? So that he is believable. So this is not self-projection. He's just telling them about his background so that people believe him. And then he says, مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. It is not appropriate for us, it is not allowed for us that we associate any partner with Allah at all. Meaning, it is not right for us to practice idolatry at all. And remember that shirk is something that is not allowed for anyone. No exceptions whatsoever. Even the prophets of Allah are not allowed. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions several prophets, and then he says, وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا لَحَبِطَ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. If they associated partners with Allah, whatever they did would be wasted. All of their deeds would be nullified. So he talks about himself. He says, it is not right for us, it is not correct for us that we associate partners with Allah. And then he said, ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا. This is from the favor of Allah on us. What is the favor of Allah on us? Revelation. And the fact that he saved us from shirk. And وَعَلَى النَّاسِ. And this is also a favor on all people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to us as prophets, as messengers, to call people to Allah, to tell people about Allah. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. But most of the people do not show gratitude, meaning for this favor. So which is why they turn away, they do not pay attention, they don't believe. ولكن أكثر الناس لا يشكرون. And then he tells them, يَا صَاحِبَيِ السِّجْنِ. Now he comes, he talks about Tawheed directly. Okay. So first he establishes his background. You know, who am I to say this? Where did I get this from? He establishes his background, his credibility. And then he gives them logical evidence. Right. He says, يَا صَاحِبَيِ السِّجْنِ. Oh my two companions of the prison. Sahibay, this is actually sahibayn, which is the dual of sahib. Okay, and the plural is ashab. So he says, my two companions of the prison. This is so beautiful. Yusuf alayhi salam talks to them on common grounds, right? So that there is no strangeness. That, you know, you're in prison, I'm in prison, you know, here, you know, we're similar, we're here together. And this is something very, very important. You know, the prophets of Allah, when they address their people, they would say, Ya Qawmi, O my people, meaning I am from you. We are together, right? And this is something very important, because the moment you show yourself as someone who is very, pious and better, etc., then people feel intimidated, they feel distant. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he makes them comfortable. He makes himself relatable so that they feel comfortable with him. He says, O my two companions of the prison, أَأَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ. Are multiple separate gods better? أَأَرْبَاب. أَرْبَاب is a plural of رَب. And رَب is Lord, right? Master, God. مُتَفَرِّقُونَ. This means different ones, plural of مُتَفَرِّق. And different ones, of course, that implies multiple, several, right? And it also implies that, you know, one God has a certain power and another God has a different power and the third one has another power. So they vary in terms of their numbers. They vary in terms of their characteristics and their powers and their abilities. Is that better, divided gods? Is that better? أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَارِ. Or is Allah better? Who is Allah al-Wahid, the one, the single? Meaning the one who has all divine powers within him. Meaning divine powers are not divided, they are all in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is Rabb, so he is the Khaliq, the Malik, the Mudabbir. He is also Ilah, he is also the one who is worshipped. Right, he gives life, he gives death, he owns everything, everything is in his control. He is Al-Wahid. And Al-Qahar, the prevailing. Al-Qahar, this is from Qahar, Qaf Ha-Ra. And Qahar is to conquer, to compel, or to subjugate. So Qahar is the one who is extremely or supremely dominant, the one who has absolute control, before whom everything is submissive. So he asks them a very simple, logical question, right? And he leaves them to think about it so that they can use their mind. That, you know, what's better? Many gods with divided powers and divided abilities, or one supreme prevailing God? What is better? He lets them figure out the answer themselves, because the answer is very obvious. Now, what happens is that when it comes to idolatry, people will say, well, we worship these idols because this is what our forefathers did, right? So now he says, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا أَسْمَاء. You worship not besides him except mere names. Meaning these idols that you, or these multiple gods that you worship, what is their reality? They have no reality. They're just abstract ideas that you have named, right? Just like a fictional character, right? What is the reality of a fictional character? It's just a name, right? Any fictional character, is it real? It's not. It's imaginary. It's an imaginary concept, right? He who must not be named. Right, it's an imaginary concept, and then it's given a name, a label, right? An entire story is created about him, right? Like, who is this mind flayer? Like, what is the reality? It's just a name, right? It's a fictional character. So he says that the idols that you've made, that you worship, these are just names. Sammaytumuha, you all have named them. You have given them these names. Who antum you wa aba'ukum, and your forefathers. So he says that your forefathers, your ancestors, you know, they just came up with these concepts and they gave them names. And now you treat these concepts as gods and you worship them. Is there any evidence? Ma anzal Allahu biha min sultan. Allah has not sent any proof for that. Meaning Allah has not given you any authority, any evidence to come up with these concepts, idols, and then worship them. You have no evidence for this. In il hukmu illa lillah, legislation is not but for Allah. Meaning al-hukm entirely belongs to Allah. What does that mean? That it is only Allah who has the power to decide. Decide what? Who you worship. And it is only Allah whose hukm, whose command prevails. It is carried out. Meaning whatever he decides happens. And what your gods decide, first of all, they don't decide anything, right? And if you guys come up with something, it's not necessary that it's going to happen. In al-hukmu illa lillah. Amara alla ta'budu illa. And what is it that Allah has decided? What is it that He has commanded? He has commanded that you should not worship anyone except Him. Only Allah. Iyyahu. No one but Him. Why? Because He created us so that we worship Him. And He alone is the creator, so He alone has the right to be worshipped. And then He tells them, ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. That is the correct religion. And notice, الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. Deen also means worship. And الْقَيِّمُ. قَيِّمُ is that which is established, that which is correct. حَقْ مُسْتَقِيمُ. Authentic. This is the correct religion, because here we have traditional evidence, right? Because my ancestors, Ibrahim, Yaqub, Ishaq, Yaqub, they always worshipped Allah. And we have logical evidence, right? Which is that one God is better than multiple gods. So this is the correct religion. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most of the people do not know. What do they not know? That this is the correct religion. That only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be worshipped. So we see that Yusuf alayhi salam, he uses multiple strategies over here to invite them to Islam, right? First of all, he assures them that he's not going to be too long. Secondly, he gives them, he establishes his credibility, that I'm not just a nobody, right? I have my background is such that I am credible when it comes to this matter. And then he gives them traditional and logical evidence. And then he finally criticizes their ways, right? That, think about your religion. What evidence do you have? Think about your ways. What evidence do you have? And unfortunately, one of the first things we do when we talk to people about Islam is that we begin by criticizing the religion of people, right? That we begin with criticism. And when we begin with criticism, people immediately become hostile. They become defensive. Yusuf alayhi salam did not begin with criticism. That's the last thing that he did. And this is it, right? This is all the da'wah that he did over here. And then he tells them about the interpretation of their dreams. He says, Ya sahiba yusijin, O two companions of prison, O my two companions in the prison, Amma ahadukuma, as for one of you, he doesn't say you who had this dream. He's ambiguous over here. Why? Because the interpretation of the dream of one of them is good and of the other one is quite sad. So he doesn't want to make him feel bad. So he says, as for one of you two, فَيَسْقِي رَبَّهُ خَمْرًا. He will give drink to his master of wine. Khamr is wine. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ. And as for the other, فَيُصْلَبُ. Then he will be crucified, meaning he will be killed. فَتَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ رَأْسِهِ. And the birds are going to eat from his head. His head is going to be bread for the birds. قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. The matter has been decreed about which you both inquire. تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ is from fatwa, istifta, to seek a fatwa. So he tells him over here that the matter has been decreed. Yani, this is what will happen now. Because remember that until the dream is interpreted, it does not have any effect. But once it is interpreted, then it will happen. So the Prophet ﷺ said that the dream is tied to a bird's leg. As long as it is not interpreted, when it is interpreted, it becomes a reality. Okay? Meaning, just like a bird lands, right? It sits. So just like that, the dream will now become a reality after it has been interpreted. وَقَالَ And Yusuf ﷺ said, لِلَّذِي To the one whom, ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ He knew that indeed he will be نَاجِم مِنْهُمَا will be free from both of them. Now, look at the word ظَنَّ. ظَنَّ can mean think, to assume, but when it's followed by أَنَّ, it means to know for sure. So Yusuf ﷺ said to the person about whom he knew that he was going to be نَاجِم. Najin, one who is saved. So, meaning the one who is going to go and serve wine to his master. Yusuf alayhi salam said to him that udhkurni inda rabbik, mention me to your master. Meaning when you're free, when you're out of here, then tell him that I have been put here unjustly. But what happened? Fa ansahu shaytan. But shaytan made him forget. Who? The man. Shaytan made him forget to do what? Dhikra Rabbihi, to mention Yusuf alayhi salam before his master. So what happened as a result? فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ So Yusuf alayhi salam remained in the prison بِضْعَ سِنِينَ for several years. And the word بِضْعَ means somewhere between 3 and 9 or 5 and 9. So Yusuf alayhi salam remained in the prison for several more years. Now, something very important we see here. Yusuf alayhi salam was in the prison, and yani, if someone is in the prison, who's going to come and advocate for them, or who's going to come and, you know, fight for them so that they are brought out? It's of course going to be their friends or their family. Yusuf alayhi salam's family was not in Egypt. They didn't even know that Yusuf alayhi salam was in the prison, and the only people that he knew, which was the family of the Aziz, were the people who put him in the prison in the first place. So who was going to come and advocate for him? Nobody. So we learn a very important lesson over here, that Yusuf alayhi salam, he was patient over this trial. He was relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for relief. But along with that, he was doing whatever he could to bring himself out of difficulty. Patience does not mean that you give up. Tawakkul does not mean that you do nothing. Yusuf alayhi salam believed that he was innocent. He believed that he had been put behind bars as a way to silence that scandal, right? And he knew that no one was going to come for him, so he had to help himself. And this is something very important that we must remember. Don't always wait to be rescued by others. You have to do something to rescue yourself, to bring yourself out of difficulty. Because the one who tries to change their condition, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, he helps that person. But the change must come from you. Because a lot of times, you know, when we are suffering in a certain capacity in our lives, we just keep waiting for others to come rescue us, right? But don't wait for that. You have to do something yourself. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he did whatever was within his capacity, right, to get out of prison. And he told this man that when you are free, mention me to your master. But what happened? Shaytan made that man forget. Because why? Shaytan is always plotting to harm you, to hurt you, to make you forget what is important, because shaytan is your enemy. So after this, Yusuf alayhi salam remained in the prison for many years. Now, some have interpreted this verse as that Shaytan made Yusuf forget to remember Allah. Meaning, instead of asking Allah alone and depending on him exclusively, Yusuf alayhi salam asked this man to mention him to his master. But this interpretation is, you know, it doesn't make much sense because it is, first of all, based on a narration that is weak. And secondly, we have been taught to adopt means to help ourselves. And then we see that any shaitan does not have any control over Allah's prophets. So فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّي, this is referring to shaitan making this man forget to mention Yusuf alayhi salam. And this is something quite sad if you think about it, that this man got out and Yusuf alayhi salam already told him, right? He predicted that. So it's sad that Yusuf alayhi salam helped this man and this man completely forgot about Yusuf alayhi salam. And this happens with many people, that as they get to, you know, enjoy worldly benefits, they tend to forget their past. They tend to forget about the people who helped them. Now, one thing we must remember is that when shaitan made this man forget to mention Yusuf alayhi salam, this happened by the permission of Allah. All right? Because, like I mentioned earlier, nothing happens without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission, His will, His decree. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let shaitan make this man forget to mention Yusuf, just as he let shaitan made Yushar forget to mention the fish to Musa alayhi salam. Right? We learn in Surah Al-Kahf. Why? Because remember that in the delay, you know, if for example Yusuf alayhi salam was mentioned and then Yusuf alayhi salam was brought out of prison immediately, this trial would be over very quickly, right? It wouldn't be as long. So remember that in the longer trial, in this delay, there was more patience on the part of Yusuf alayhi salam. And more patience meant more reward. Okay? Secondly, remember that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for the servant, for his slave, is better than what the slave thinks for himself. If Yusuf alayhi salam got out now, then what would he do? Where would he go? You know? But Yusuf alayhi salam, he got out much later at the request of the king. And what happened? Yusuf alayhi salam immediately reached the top, right? From where he was able to help people. And also remember that if Yusuf alayhi salam's request was presented to the king right now, he would be in a position of asking the king, right? Begging the king. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree was better. It was the king who needed Yusuf alayhi salam, not Yusuf alayhi salam who needed the king. So this is why we see that the king was shown a dream. And what was that dream? In the next ayah we learn, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكِ, and the king said, that إِنِّي أَرَى سَبْعَ بَقَرَاتٍ, indeed I have seen, meaning in a dream, سَبْعَ بَقَرَاتٍ, seven cows. بَقَرَات, plural of بَقَرَة. What kind of cows? These cows are سِمَان. سِمَان is a plural of سَمِين, and سَمِين is fat or obese with a lot of flesh. So I saw seven fat cows, يَأْكُلُهُنَّ, it eats them, meaning these fat cows are being eaten up by who? Sab'un, seven cows, which are ijafun, which are lean. Ijaf is a plural of arjaf. And it means slim or slender. So think about cows that are completely emaciated. Bones are showing. There's no fat whatsoever. They haven't eaten in a very long time. So what's this dream? He sees seven fat cows and seven thin cows. And the seven thin cows, what do? They eat up the seven fat cows. In the same dream, the king sees wasabar sumbulatin, and seven spikes. Okay, what are these spikes? Sumbula is basically a spike of grain, an ear of grain. Think about wheat, how the plant grows, that it's basically a stalk, and at the top, you have a bunch of grains, right? Or a sumbula is like an ear of corn. Okay. So he saw seven of these, which are khudrin, green. If they're green, that means that they're fresh. Wa ukhara, and others, meaning seven others that are yabisat, that are dry. Dry meaning they're not fresh. So he says, Ya ayyuha al-mala, O elite, O assembly, meaning he addresses his men, Aftuni fi ru'yaya, tell me about my dream. In kuntum lil-ru'ya ta'burun, if you truly interpret dreams. Meaning, tell me what my dream means. Now, of course, this dream was a very different dream, and clearly it's something very meaningful. And first of all, realize that even a non-Muslim can have a true dream. And remember that just because a person has a true dream, a meaningful dream, it does not mean that they're very righteous and that they're upon the truth. A meaningful dream, a true dream, is not a sign of a person's religiosity and a sign of their piety. Okay? Anyone can be shown a true dream. Now, in this dream, there's a couple of strange things. First of all, cows are eating cows, right? And then secondly, it's the famished cows that are eating the fat cows, right? And then we see that there are, you know, cows and spikes of grain, which are basically food, agriculture, economy, money. And then we see that, you know, there are, just as there are seven fat cows, there are seven fresh spikes of grain. And there are seven thin cows, and there are seven dry spikes of grain. And then notice the number seven. Each of the fat cows, the famished cows, the fresh sumbulat, the dried ones, right? So, of course, this kind of a dream would leave you wondering that what is happening? So the king was very eager to know what his dream meant, and he was pressing his people that tell me the meaning of my dream. What was their answer? قالوا, they said, أضغاثُ أحلام. This is just a mixture of false dreams. Okay, this is a very interesting word. أضغاث, this is the plural of the word dighth. And dighth is basically a handful of herbs or plants that are fresh and dry, you know, mixed together. Basically, you know, after it rains, you see grass or different kinds of weeds growing. So if you were to take a bunch of them, right, what would fit in your fist, you would see that there are different kinds. Some are dry, some are fresh. So this is what adghath is. And ahlam is typically used for a false dream or a dream that is from shaitan. So they said that this is just a muddle, a mixture, a confusion of false dreams. And notice how they combined adghath and ahlam, right? That this is just completely false. It doesn't mean anything, right? They're completely, this dream is completely unreal. And they said, وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَأْوِيلِ الْأَحْلَامِ بِعَالِمِينَ, and we are not at all knowledgeable of the interpretation of dreams. We don't have this knowledge, right? Or they say that we don't know how to interpret false dreams. Because remember, ahlam is false dreams, right? So they said, we don't know the knowledge of dream interpretation. This is not one of our expertise. Or secondly, we know the interpretation of dreams, but this dream, this is false. Now, why did they say this? They said this as an excuse because they really did not know. They did not have the answer. So they said, basically, don't worry about it. And you know what? We make this mistake also. When people ask us questions, right? If we don't know the answer, we say, don't think too much. Or this question doesn't make sense. And this is a very wrong response. If you don't have the answer, don't belittle the questions of people. If you don't know the answer, don't undermine their questions. Tell them, I don't know, right? Or tell them that, you know, perhaps someone else can give you the answer, but don't start making them feel as if they're dumb, right? That their question was a bad question. Now what happened? وَقَالَ الَّذِي نَجَى مِنْهُمَا. Now someone remembered something. وَقَالَ, and he said, who? الَّذِي نَجَى مِنْهُمَا, the one who was freed from them too. Meaning the two men who were in the prison with Yusuf alayhi salam. So the guy who was saved and who ended up going to the king and serving him wine. He remembered. وَدَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أُمَّةٍ, and he remembered after a long time. What did he say? أَنَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِتَأْوِيلِ, I will tell you the interpretation of this dream. فَأَرْسِلُونِ, so you all send me. Now, first of all, look at the word أُمَّةٍ. This is very interesting. He remembered Yusuf alayhi salam after an ummah. Ummah means a period of time. Okay, just as ummah means a group of people, jama'ah, a group of people, then it also means a group of years, meaning a number of years, a long time. Okay, and the word ummah, it's also been recited as imma, and imma means blessing, nirma. So after this guy had been having, you know, a very good time, now finally he remembered Yusuf alayhi salam. And even now, he does not mention the name of Yusuf alayhi salam. He just says, send me, I will tell you. Right? As if now again, he wants to use this opportunity to get closer to the king. And there are so many people who are like this, that they, you know, take advantage of others, they benefit from others, they never give credit, and they're only concerned about their own progress, their own personal progress. But such people never succeed. So what happened? That he said, أَنَا أُنَبِّيُكُمْ بِتَأْوِيلِ فَأَوْسِلُونَ. So you send me, meaning send me either to the king or send me to the prison so that I can find out the interpretation. So this man, he comes to the prison and he talks to Yusuf alayhi salam, and he says, Yusuf, O Yusuf, أَيُّ الصِّدِّيق, O man of truth. Notice how he begins with praising Yusuf alayhi salam because he wants a favor, right? And he knows that it's very selfish of him to now come after such a long time and remember Yusuf and ask him for another favor. So he begins by praising Yusuf alayhi salam. He says, أَيُّهَا الصِّدِّيق. But out of all the things that he could describe Yusuf alayhi salam with, he says صِدِّيق. And صِدِّيق, remember, is someone who is very, very truthful. كَثِيرُ الصِّدْق, دَائِمُ الصِّدْق. Right? Someone whose truthfulness is revealed, it is known, it is experienced by others. And why does he call him Siddiq now? Because the interpretation that Yusuf alayhi salam gave him came true, right? So he asks him that, أَيُّهَا Siddiq أَفْتِنَا. You give us fatwa, meaning you tell us the meaning of a dream. Which dream? He mentions the dream exactly as the king had narrated it. He says, فِي سَبْعِ بَقَرَاتٍ سِمَانٍ يَأْكُلُهُنَّ سَبْعٌ عِجَافٌ وَسَبْعِ سُنْبُلَاتٍ خُضْرٍ وَأُخَرَ يَابِسَاتٍ. He mentions the dream and he says, tell me what it means, لَعَلِّي أَرْجِعُ إِلَى النَّاسِ, so that I can return to the people, I can go back, لَعَلَّهُمْ, so that they يَعْلَمُونَ, they know. Tell me the interpretation so that I can go and tell them. Notice something here. The man does not tell Yusuf alayhi salam about whose dream it was. He says, أَفْتِنَا, you tell us, right? We need to know about what this dream means. He doesn't say the king had the dream. All right. Again, we can see how selfish this man was. So we see that, Yani, it's amazing how Yusuf alayhi salam is a muhsin no matter where he goes, right? No matter what situation he's in. And there are people who either abuse him or they take advantage of him. But, you know, eventually we see at the end, those who tried to harm him could not really harm him. And this is the reality of givers, of people who are generous. It seems as though they're being used and abused by people. But in the long run, it is the generous, it is the givers who are successful. So Yusuf alayhi salam's credibility had been established, right? So this man narrated the dream, and Yusuf alayhi salam, look at his response, he is so amazing. Qala, he says, تَزْرَعُونَ سَبْعَ سِنِيَ دَأَبَا. You are going to plant, meaning cultivate, for 7 years consecutively. Amazing. Yusuf alayhi salam does not complain, where were you? Right? He does not set a precondition that I will only tell you the interpretation when you tell me what's in it for me. Yusuf alayhi salam is not bitter, right? This is sabr. This is patience, okay? This is tawakkul. This is ihsan. Because Yusuf alayhi salam did not expect from people, right? So why would he be disappointed? So he gives him the interpretation. He says, Tazra'una, you are going to cultivate. This is from Zar. Zar is to sow, seeds and then cultivate, harvest, etc. Tazra'una sab'a sinin. You will do that for 7 years. How? Da'aban, consecutively. Da'ab basically means what is done habitually, as habit, as routine. So you will cultivate for 7 years as per routine. And da'ab can also mean without interruption, meaning consecutively. فَمَا حَصَدْتُمْ, then whatever you harvest. حصدتم حصاد, that is the root. Whatever you harvest, meaning of crop, then what you do is فَذَرُوهُ, then you leave the grain where فِي سُنْبُلِهِ, in its spikes. Meaning do not take the kernels out. Leave them in the spikes. إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّا تَأْكُلُونَ, except a little of which you eat. Meaning only take out the kernels which you're actually going to eat. The rest of the grain, leave it in the sheaths. Why? In order to store them and preserve them properly. Because if you take them out, they will not stay fresh. And they can be eaten by, bugs. So, إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّا تَأْكُلُونَ. ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ سَبْعٌ شِدَادٌ. Then there will come after that, meaning after these 7 years, which are going to be as usual, after that, there are going to come سَبْعٌ شِدَادٌ, 7 years, which are going to be شِدَاد, very difficult, plural of شَدِيد. Meaning these are going to be years of famine, where there is going to be a shortage of food supplies. There is going to be difficulty. And in this time, يَأْكُلْنَ, they will eat مَا قَدَّمْتُمْ لَهُنَّ, what you saved for them, what you deposited for them, meaning in the prior 7 years. إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّا تُحْصِنُونَ, except for a little which you will store. Meaning again, in those 7 years of hardship, don't eat everything that you had stored. Store some more. Why? For future plantation. Amazing. He gives the interpretation of the dream. The 7 fat cows represent the 7 good years, and the 7 lean cows represent the 7 years of drought, of famine. And then the 7 lean cows eat the fat ones, because the 7 years of famine will consume the food they stored in the 7 years of plenty. And then the grain, the sumbulat that the king saw, you will have fresh grain for 7 years, the khudr, 7 green. And then for the next 7, you will consume the dried harvest that you collected and you saved. Now Yusuf alayhi salam, he didn't just give the interpretation, he also gave them a solution, right? And this was his ihsan, this was his hikmah, his hukum, his wisdom. That he told them what they were supposed to do for the next 14 years to save their economy. That the harvest of 7 years was supposed to last them 14 years, right? And he also told them to store some for future plantation. So it's not about how many resources you have at your disposal, but how well you manage them, how well you use them. Now Yusuf alayhi salam didn't stop here. He went further. He said, ثُمَّ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ عَامٌ. Then there will come after that a year. What kind of year? فِيهِ يُغَاثُ النَّاسِ, in which the people will be given rain. يُغَاثُ is from غَيْث, and غَيْث is rain. The word also means relief, because it is rain that falls after desperate need. So there will come a year in which there will be a lot of rain. وَفِيهِ يَعْصِرُونَ, and in which people will press. يَعْصِرُونَ, عَصَرَ, to press. Meaning there will be so much fruit, so much grain, that people will be able to press them to make the juice, oil, milk, etc. So basically, he's telling them that in the 15th year, there will be abundant rain. So he gives them good news at the end. Now there's a question. Where did Yusuf alayhi salam get this from? Because this was not mentioned in the dream, right? It was only the cows, 7-7, the grain, 7-7. I mean, that's it. So how did he know that after the 14 years, there will be a year in which there will be relief? Because he understood from the dream that the first 7 will be easy, the next 7 will be hard. And then that means that after those 7 hard years, the 8th is going to be easy again, right? The following year will not be hard, meaning there will be an end to the difficulty. So the cows will be fat again, right? The grain will be fresh again. So Yusuf alayhi salam, his judgment, his wisdom, his knowledge is fascinating, right? So what happened when the king was told about the interpretation? وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ اُتُونِي بِهِ. The king said, bring him to me. Okay? Bring this man to me. Why is he in jail? Bring him to me. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُ الرَّسُولُ. So when the envoy of the king came to Yusuf alayhi salam to bring him out of the prison, what did Yusuf alayhi salam do? He said, finally, I'm out. Let's run out the doors. No, qala, he said, irji' ila rabbik. Go back to your master. Go back to your king. Fas'alhu, and ask him, ma balu niswa? What is the case of the women, allati qatta'na aydiyahunna, who cut their hands? What is their case? Because inna rabbi bi kaydihinna alim. Indeed, my Lord is knowing of their conspiracy. My Lord knows what conspiracy they did. And Rab over here can refer to his previous master. Or it can refer to, he's referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah knows about what these women did. Now we see that the king was deeply impressed. He was fascinated and he felt in great need of the knowledge and expertise of Yusuf alayhi salam. So he said, bring him. But Yusuf alayhi salam did not rush out of the prison. Why? Because he wanted to make sure that his innocence was known. Even though he knew he was innocent near Allah. But for him to be able to work with people and to be trusted by them, he needed to have a clear record. Because remember, on the one hand, yes, our matter is with Allah. And on the other hand, it is also with people. And both need to be good. And the Prophet ﷺ actually said about this, that if I stayed in prison as long as Yusuf stayed, and then the messenger came to me, I would respond to his call. Meaning, I would have gone out immediately. But look at the patience of Yusuf ﷺ. And this is also part of Ta'wil al-Ahadith. To understand the true meaning of events. To be farsighted. To not be impulsive, to not be hasty, right? So he said, ask your master that ma balu, what is the case of? What is the case of? Bal is a condition for which one cares, okay? So basically what he's saying is, please investigate the case of the women who cut their hands. And this was something major. So many women cut their hands, what happened, right? Why did this happen? Please investigate that. Now, he doesn't directly say, that the wife of Aziz tried to seduce me. She set up this whole thing and, you know, she tried to pressure me and then to silence me. They put me in prison. He doesn't say anything like that. Why? And he doesn't even mention the wife of the Aziz. Why? In order to preserve the dignity of the Aziz. Because he did not forget the favor of the Aziz. Yes, what the Aziz did was wrong, right? That he put Yusuf alayhi salam in prison just to save his own image. But at the same time, Yusuf alayhi salam remembered his ihsan. So he does not badmouth him, right? And he says, my Lord knows about what these women did. So what happened? Now the king investigated this issue. And he asked these women. Qala, he said, ma khatbukunna? What was your condition? What was happening? Idra watunna Yusuf an nafsi, when you all sought to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam. What happened? What was going on? Who was at fault? Did you do something wrong or did he do something wrong? Qulna, they said, all the women said, hasha lillah, perfect is Allah. God forbid, ma alimna alayhi min su, we do not know about him any evil at all, meaning Yusuf is not guilty at all. He is innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. Now this is amazing. You see, the king wanted Yusuf alayhi salam. He wanted to benefit from Yusuf alayhi salam. And this is why he made special accommodations for Yusuf alayhi salam. When a person has expertise, then people are willing to accommodate for them. A lot of times what happens is that we keep blaming people. They don't see me. They don't value me. They don't want me, right? And then we start blaming different things. It's because I'm a Muslim. It's because I wear hijab. It's because I wear niqab. It's because of this. It's because of that. And yes, this is true. There are people who will be biased towards you just because of your appearance. But you know what? It's also about the benefit you bring people, the qabiliyya that you have, the strengths that you have. If you have something of quality to offer, people will come after you, right? They will come after you. So instead of blaming people, start working on developing yourself, improving yourself. So what happened? The king, he asked the women, ما خطبكن, what was your condition? And the word خطب can refer to an important matter, which is a subject of discourse, because it's so important. Or it can also mean the cause of an event. Okay, so what was your condition? What was happening? Why did this happen? And they said, Yusuf is completely innocent. So now, قالت امرأة العزيز, the wife of the Aziz spoke. Now she spoke, even though Yusuf a.s. did not mention her, right? Because he had respect for the Aziz. But she spoke herself. She said, الآن حصحص الحق. Now the truth has become evident. This word حصحصة is very interesting. حصحصة means two things. Okay, it means to settle. When something becomes firmly settled or steady. Basically, حصحصة is used for a camel. When a camel becomes firm on his knees in order to rise, in order to get up. If you've ever seen a camel getting up, you will notice that it doesn't get up immediately, right? It goes back and forth. And it settles firmly on its knees and then it gets up. So settling, this is hashasa. So now the truth has settled. Okay. And secondly, hashasa also means to come out. All right. Meaning when something becomes distinct after having been concealed. So she said, now the truth has become evident. Even though for all of these years, they tried to hide the truth of what? Of the innocence of Yusuf alayhi salam, by putting him in prison. She says, أَنَا رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِي. I am the one who tried to seduce him. وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. And indeed, he is of the truthful. Amazing. Yusuf alayhi salam is called a Muhsin. He is called Siddiq. And now he's called Sadiq. He's known as someone who is truthful, not dishonest. And then, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. That is so that he knows, meaning the Aziz will know, that I did not betray him in the unseen, meaning in his absence. I actually did not do anything wrong. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ. And that Allah does not guide the plan of the betrayers, meaning those who do khiyana, Allah does not guide them. They can never be successful. Yusuf alayhi salam is the one who said that. So there's two ways of looking at this ayah. One is that Yusuf alayhi salam is the one who said this, that I wanted this clarification so that the Aziz knows that I did not betray him. Why is it that he wanted people to know that he did not betray? He did not betray his master. Because if Yusuf alayhi salam had been dishonest with his master, then that means that he could be dishonest with anybody. That means that he was not reliable. Remember that the prophets of Allah have two very important characteristics, as-sidq wal-amana, truthfulness and trustworthiness. His truth had been established, right? How? That when he gave the interpretation, it came true. He was called Siddiq. But now his amana, his trustworthiness also had to be established. So this is why he wanted to make sure that his innocence was known. So he says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. And then he says, I do not acquit myself, meaning of blame. I don't say that I am completely perfect. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. Because indeed the soul is a persistent enjoiner of evil. أَمَّارَة, extreme enjoiner, meaning one who commands again and again and again, persistently. The soul constantly urges one to commit evil. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي, except for what my Lord is merciful to. What does this mean? مَا can mean two things. It can either mean when, meaning a person is only safe when Allah has mercy on them. And secondly, it can mean whom, meaning the person who is saved from the evil of the soul is the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been merciful to. إِنَّ رَبِّي غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Indeed, my Lord is forgiving and merciful. So These words are the words of Yusuf alayhi salam, right? So it's very obvious now, his innocence is declared, yet he says, I don't claim to be perfect, right? He says that I don't, you know, if I'm innocent, it is only by Allah's mercy on me. So he wants to make sure that he's not, you know, making anybody feel bad. Now, there are other ulama who say that this was actually the woman's statement, meaning the wife of the Aziz, she is the one who said this, okay? That I don't claim to be innocent, I am guilty, because the nafs does prompt one to do evil, and I indeed fell prey to my desires. However, I did not ultimately commit the sin. So I did not actually betray my husband. So basically she confesses, and she gives her excuse. And this is also something that is truly remarkable, because for a person to confess, to admit their guilt, right, this is also great. So this statement that inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu, this is very important. The soul always prompts urges to do evil, right? Which is why fighting the nafs is one of the most difficult things to do. The Prophet ﷺ said that the best of believers in Islam is the one from whose tongue and hands others are safe. And the best jihad is of the one who strives against himself for the sake of Allah. Who is the strong person? Not the one who can win a fight, but the one who can control his anger. Right? So, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُّءٍ. And no one is safe except the person whom Allah is merciful to. This is why we should never feel proud that, you know what, I'm so righteous, I'm so strong. No, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mercy. وقال الملك, and the king said, ائتوني به, bring him to me. The king repeats, bring this man to me. But now he says, استخلصه لنفسي. I will appoint him exclusively for myself. استخلص basically means to extract butter from milk, okay? And when you do that, the milk becomes completely clear. So istakhlasa is when a person chooses someone exclusively for themselves. Okay? Meaning I want him to work only for me, to be with me and nothing else. I want him as my personal advisor, as my personal assistant. Think about it. If Yusuf alayhi salam came the first time the king called him, right? Then what would happen? Okay, nice, right? But now the king says, "I'tuni bi astakhlisuhu li nafsi." I want him for myself. So if Yusuf alayhi salam came out the first time, he would not have gotten this, right? What happened then? Falamma kallamahu. Then when the king spoke to Yusuf alayhi salam, because up until now the king had only heard of Yusuf alayhi salam, right? But now when he met him and spoke to him, he was even more impressed. He was even more confident in Yusuf alayhi salam. So he said, إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَدَيْنَا مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ. Indeed, you are, from today onwards, you are with us, Makin and Amin. Who is Makin? Makin is someone who is established, empowered. Because Makkana is to give authority to someone, to empower them. So you are empowered. And Makkana also means to give a place to someone to settle. So you are established, Aminun. And you are fully trusted, meaning we will trust you, we will believe you, so you are good now. Qala Yusuf alayhi salam, he said, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. Appoint me over the storehouses of the land. Look at this. The king trusts Yusuf alayhi salam, and he wants Yusuf alayhi salam for himself. But Yusuf alayhi salam chooses something else. He says, no, I'd rather be out there working, doing the real work. This is a great privilege to be with you. However, I would like to go and help people. How? That you appoint me over the storehouses of the land. Khaza'in is the plural of khizana, and khizana is a place where something is preserved. So for example, khizana to kutub is a library, because the library has books in it, or even a bookcase, because you keep books safe in it. So appoint me over the storehouses of the land, meaning where food and grain and harvest, etc., is collected, stored, managed. Appoint me over that. Because inni hafidhun alim, indeed I am hafil alim. Hafil, I am able to diligently guard. And I am alim, I am knowing. I have knowledge of this. So Yusuf alayhi salam, again, is not bragging over here. He is mentioning his strengths so that the king would trust him and the king would give him this work, which means that if you're applying for a job, for example, right, it's perfectly fine to mention what your accomplishments are, what your strengths are, but a person must be truthful in doing that. Now, why does he say that I am hafiz and alim? Hafiz, the ability to guard, right? Meaning I have amana, I have the integrity, right? And I have ilm, I have knowledge of this matter. Because if you think about it, the entire kingdom was going to face a serious matter. There was going to be the next 15 years were very, very important, and they had to be managed very carefully. So he wanted to help out. So he offered his services. And what happened? The king agreed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفْ, and thus we established Yusuf. فِي الْأَرْضِ, in the land. Amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established Yusuf alayhi salam through this way. كَذَلِكَ, through which way? By sending him to prison, by giving him the knowledge of the interpretation of dreams, by letting those two men meet Yusuf alayhi salam, by letting Shaitan make that man forget to mention Yusuf alayhi salam, by making the king have the dream. Subhanallah. This is how Yusuf alayhi salam was established. He was empowered in the land of Egypt. How يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنْهَا حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. He could settle there wherever that he wanted. يَتَبَوَّأُ is to settle, to take a place as residence. So Yusuf alayhi salam could now live wherever that he wanted. Anywhere. What was his state previously? He was a slave in the house of the Aziz. He was an inmate in the prison of Egypt. And now he had so much freedom and so much power. نُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِنَا مَنْ نَشَاءُ. This is beautiful. Allah says, we bestow our mercy on whomever we will. This was purely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy on Yusuf alayhi salam. This was not because of the power of Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah is the one who gave Yusuf alayhi salam knowledge, who gave Yusuf alayhi salam wisdom, who gave Yusuf alayhi salam burhan, right? So that Yusuf alayhi salam stayed away from the sin that the woman was inviting him to. Allah is the one who turned away the plot of the women. فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنْ. Right? Allah is the one who made the king have that dream. نُصِيبُ بِرَحْمَتِنَا مَنْ نَشَاءُ. وَلَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And we do not allow to be lost the reward of those who do good. The person who does ihsan, Allah does not let their effort go waste. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them reward in this life and also in the next life. Amazing. Think about this. Up until now, what is Yusuf alayhi salam doing? Giving, giving, giving. And what are people doing? Taking advantage of Yusuf alayhi salam constantly. Abusing him. Right? Not caring about him. But Yusuf alayhi salam, he was a muhsin in the face of hardship. So what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not let this ihsan go waste. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him reward in this life. And he says, وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٍ. And surely the reward of the hereafter is better. Better than what? Better than the reward which is given in this world. SubhanAllah. If this is the reward that Yusuf alayhi salam got in this world, that now he had so much power and so much freedom, so much authority, right? That he's loved by people, he is believed by them, people want him, they like him, subhanAllah, then what is the reward in the hereafter? It is much better. But that reward is not for everybody. Who is it for? It is خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The reward of the hereafter is best for those who believe, who do not give up believing in Allah. They believe, because this is what happens when a person goes through trial. Sometimes their faith even is shaken. Yusuf alayhi salam, he believed in Allah, that my Rabb is there. My Rabb is watching me. My Rabb has been good to me. My Rabb knows what happened. وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And they have been fearing of Allah. They have been adopting taqwa. What was the taqwa that Yusuf alayhi salam observed? Think about it. He was the only Muslim All around him, people were committing shirk. They were of a different religion. He did not become like them. He stayed away from shirk, right? He was invited to sin, not once, but repeatedly. But what did he do? He stayed away. That was his taqwa. He feared Allah no matter where he was. In the house of the king, in the house of the Aziz, when the doors were locked, right? In the face of social pressure, even in the prison, right? He feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him in dunya, and the reward in the hereafter will be even better. So this is beautiful. We see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan works out in the favor of the believer. Yes, all that Yusuf alayhi salam went through was indeed difficult. It was indeed painful. But in reality, it brought so much goodness to Yusuf alayhi salam. And we see how all of those years that Yusuf alayhi salam spent in slavery and then in the prison, it's all paying off, right? So good days are coming. Have faith and have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that there are two kinds of provision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives his servants, okay? The first type of provision that Allah gives his servants is that which he has already fixed for them. So that provision will find the servant just like death will. Meaning the rizq that you're going to eat in this life, the money that you're going to enjoy, the food that you will eat, the places that you will go, the love that you will receive, the relationships that you will enjoy. All of that is already determined. And it will find you, it will come to you sooner or later, just like death will. Meaning you're not going to miss it. It's certainly going to reach you. But the other kind of provision is that which is in the hereafter, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised if you have iman, you have sabr, you have taqwa. And for that, you must work. What happens with us is that we focus so much on what is now that we forget about what has been promised in the future. Sabr and taqwa and iman, they allow you to focus not just on the present, but on the future. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. I apologize for taking extra time, but alhamdulillah, we managed to complete this section of the story. And now, inshallah, in the next section, we will see how the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they came to him. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi.